Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning. Once again, we are here this Monday morning to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Blog Talk Show, where this show is written and you are in here. We had a fabulous weekend this week with the Juneteenth celebration. You know, what an amazing feat. An event all across the United States of America we had this week with the Juneteenth celebration. It was a celebration of June 19, 1865, when General Gordon Granger rode into Texas with Union soldiers to free just about the last slaves being held in the state of Texas. And many of those slaves didn't believe that they were free. It was those Negro Union soldiers who had also admitted, witnessed, and stated that, yes, they are free. They explained that they were free soldiers fighting in the Civil War, where President Abraham Lincoln had declared war on those Southern Confederate states, which would not relinquish into the 13th Amendment of the United States of America. We're going to have a wonderful show this Monday morning. We're going to get into our hot topics. We're going to get into our word of the week. We're going to get into our scripture of the week. But before we get into that, I'm going to ask, because I can't see the board, and right now, presently, I'm on the highway. I'm in northern Nevada, headed north on Highway 15, about to cross into the northeastern tip of the state of Arizona, and then into the southern state of Utah. I'm heading up to Montana. So we're doing this show nationally today, and we are in traffic today. So thank God for safe passage. I thank God for traveling grace. I thank God for a new day. I thank God with life, peace, joy, humility, self-control, forgiveness, and all of his wonderful mercies and blessings that he bestow upon us all. So can I get one of my co-hosts to chime in? We have a co-host. Say your name. I can't see the board because I'm coming from my phone and not a laptop. We have any other co-hosts in the studio? Professor Reams, are you in studio this morning? Vera Jones, are you in studio this morning? Kalana Jones, are you in studio this morning? Melanie Aubrey, are you in studio this morning? Usually Melanie Aubrey and Dr. Reetha Adam Jones come in at the 10 o'clock hour. So we're just going to do this show, and what we're going to do is one of our topics for today is going to be about Juneteenth. What does Juneteenth mean to you? What did you do for Juneteenth? That's hybrid. My big German Shepherd's back there. She's in the van, and we're traveling. Me and my wife, I have two grandkids, two dogs with loaded down. Is there someone coming in the studio?
Hello.
Good morning, Professor Reams.
Good morning, the regulator. And I've been listening to the show, and, of course, safe passage, and, of course, say hello to your family and your wonderful dogs. So what a way to start the week out with the Eddie Justice Jones on tour through the states. So good morning, everyone.
That's my wonderful granddaughter. That's Charlie. She's such a wonderful personality. You know, she's important at the age than we are. They start school at an earlier age than I would have to assume most of us on this radio show. I didn't begin school until kindergarten. She just graduated preschool, so you know, she and my grandson who sleep behind me, his name is Labar.
Good morning, Clarence. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Vera.
Good morning, Professor Reams. Happy Father's Day, Professor Reams, Clarence. Eddie and all the fathers, and it is still Juneteenth for the entire month for me.
Absolutely.
So good morning, everyone.
Hopefully Clarence hasn't phased out around since he's physically traveling between the states. Hopefully he didn't hit a dead zone. So with that, until he comes in, how was your Juneteenth? Of course, we're going to be celebrating it for the full month. And what is your thoughts on it?
Well, Juneteenth for me was wonderful. It was the day before my children's birthday, so I celebrated their birthday. But at Juneteenth, I went to Leimert Park, and they had many vendors, food, music, dancing, unity, joy, and plenty of people. And they actually opened up Leimert Park again. So that was really special.
Yeah, and what I really enjoyed was the fact that they had the parade from Inglewood into Leimert Park and the celebrations in Inglewood. They're definitely the churches out here in Long Beach, so we're having their own celebrations overall. And but it's for us out here, it's about time because we've been celebrating ever since. Because half my family is from Texas, and the other half is from Memphis, and so that was always a celebration that we forced in there in between July 4th. So it's almost like the rest of the country finally caught up. So it's just wonderful, glorious. And the way that our topic is that, you know, now that we've achieved Juneteenth, where do we go from here? And then the second part is dealing with should there be reparations? And, of course, as we've said over the show consistently for years and years, yes, yes, and yes. And also with the idea of what's to happen next will be to still stay, as you know me, Vera, I keep telling people, well, this is nice, let's celebrate, but stay on the table, stay on the wall, stay in the movement, because there's still more stuff to get done. So.
Yes, Professor Reams, I agree with you totally. Yes, we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
If you think about the years, it took 146 years to have the first African-American black president, 156 years to have our first African-American Asian VP, so, and 100 years since the Tulsa, Oklahoma incident. And then, of course, 50 years since Shirley Chisholm, and, of course, 60, 70 years for the Voting Rights Act to get approved on all of these things. So, this, we've come a long way, but it's been in baby steps, but if you measure it by the time, you know, we were here in the 1600s. We're making progress, but it's like we could go a little faster to get things going overall, but, I think this is a chuckle that the good Lord has with us, because it's always very steady, very good. I mean, we're very patient. But he says, no, I'll bring it in my time. Now, you may be here, you may not be here, but it's still going to come in my time. So just do what you do. Be prayerful. Be patient. Show love. Do all the things that I've done to give as an example. And it will happen. Now, just like Moses, you may not be able to get into the city or just like Martin Luther King, I won't be able to be there with you, but I'll be with you in spirit. So that's where we are at this point. Now, at the time, Clarence, No, go on, Vera, yes.
I was going to say we've traveled many roads and many mountains. Yes, absolutely.
Now, one of the wonderful things, we were talking about both our birthdays, but I forgot that when you put in Prince's Let's Work, Prince is also either on the 7th or 9th of June, so we have four Geminis that we were actually celebrating with. So Prince Rogers Nelson, happy birthday.
And
yes.
Yes. And as I was speaking, yesterday was my twin's birthday, and so still happy birthday to you, Brandon and Gabrielle.
Excellent. And so The one aspect that is always just so fantastic about the show is that we always try to relate things to just doable things and human things as opposed to talking the smarty pants theories and all these other things in general. So my getting back to Juneteenth thought was that I was looking at all the reactions on the TV of our wonderful matriarch who was in her 90s, and her reaction, it was just, she was just shouting. All the shouting that was going on throughout the day and everything, and it just the emotions, and of course with the Crips and Brims coming together for this, it seems that we're going in the right direction. But you know, Vera, you know, one step forward, two steps back. You know the opposition is going to try to do what they're going to do, but not this day, not this weekend, not for this show, because I'm going to just talk very less about what to anticipate. So one question. Now, it also asks, so where do we go from here? Is there one specific thing that you think that we should focus on next, or are there, because there's just so many things to go, we can only handle it one at a time. You've got Black Lives Matter going one direction. You got NAACP trying to hit the legal spot. You have the SELC, and then you have the ACLU trying to make sure that the voting is fair, and it's just coming at us all at once. So what would be something that you think we should really work on that would be helpful?
Well, you just mentioned about voting, and that's one of the most important things that we must all do, because pretty soon, yes, it will be voting time again. And come together as a community, a village, and a family, and reunite and look forward to what the future should be, but get together and find out a solution of what we can do. That's what I'm feeling, Professor Rain.
Oh no, that is perfect. And I also received a text from Clarence saying that he lost a signal going around the mountains when he's going, you know, that old song. So let me see. I'm not sure. Oh, here's what it reads. I lost a signal going through the mountains. Please take control. It is written, and you are here. Yes, we shall. And yes, that is you nailed it on the head. Because we're moving in a direction where the insurrectionists and also the other folks that are involved, Merrick Garland is doing a wonderful job in trying to address these issues as quickly as he can. But voting is everything, because we're still back to November, where we have to make sure that we maintain this democracy. So as a shout out and also a plea, whatever rules that are there in your state that are obstacles to you being able to vote, you can start now by reading them and making all the preparations possible. If you know of the date when, of course, you know the date when the election is going to happen, you may want to take vacation time on that date so that it doesn't stop you if you're going to be voting in person, or just begin your process early, your absentee ballots, anything that you can do, start talking to your neighbors, your friends, everyone else, and just share why this is so important. Because the midterms, this is what happened last time when President Obama was the president, because the fact that folks unfortunately thought we had in the bag, didn't show up, and that's how we had both the Republicans take over the House. And then it was nonstop bombardment against Obamacare. So great that the Supreme Court will no longer hear these challenges, because that means that people keep their health care. If we get the package going, dealing with infrastructure, Bernie Sanders and also Chuck Schumer are urging to put in where you drop the Medicare year down to 60 or even younger, which would be close to health care for all, especially those in advanced ages. But we can't do it unless we're all together, as Vera has told us, to be united in voting. Otherwise, the other side gets it, and all the gains we've made will take us two steps back. So that's thank you for focusing on that aspect of the discussion. Now, with reparations, what has been your thoughts about reparations?
Well, I feel that it's a long time coming, and as we look at many things that are happening and taking place right now, slowly and surely, yes, I feel that it will happen. And at this time, they're actually working on that particular case right now. So we should hear more of it in the media pretty soon.
Oh, excellent. Yes. And what was interesting was that it was shared with me that some of the states in the East Coast, when it was happening after the Civil War, did get some level of reparations, where the wealth of like North Carolina, South Carolina, and up in the coast states was happening. But when it meant that some of the other states had to follow through, then that's when, of course, you saw the resistance to it overall. So, yes. Now, the biggest, as they're working on it, the packages that they're coming up with, it almost appears that in light of the Tulsa, Oklahoma circumstances, now that they've found out and with the president focusing on it, that state has talked about for the victims reparations of some type. Even California has mentioned that it's looking into some form of reparation. And, you know, I want them to do both, have the federal and the state. But considering how divided we are, do you think it's best that we start state by state by state, and then it makes it easy for the feds, or just do a federal and then just wipe the slate, and then whatever the states come up with is part of that package? What do you think, Vera?
I believe that we should do it federally, and we should start that way, and then focus on state by state to make sure that everyone will receive.
Oh, I agree 100%, because once again, each the way that it varies between states, you're gonna it's gonna be 50 different ways of reparations, and even if they acknowledge it. But if you have one federal law under the Supremacy Clause that works, then it's best for that to happen. And whatever they come up with or whatever types it is, there is always the idea of should it be a check for a large sum of money, or should it be putting in infrastructure or structures within the Black community which are permanent, so that it must happen, such as making sure the schools are funded, make sure there is way to build wealth through housing, get rid of those loans or redlining that's been going on, as well as having health care as part of it, and then anything else dealing with how to build long-term wealth and making sure that there's ways of ensuring that it's not a one-time thing, it is continuous in order for us to catch up. Because the fact that one person said that it will take 100 years to catch up with those that that have had the chance for having generational wealth for the past 100 years ahead, and that if we can catch up, then it means we can contribute more. We're already contributing billions and maybe close to trillions of dollars of our money anyway into the economy. Even more so if we had reparations, that more money would go to benefit the economy. Because when the billionaire that had paid for the university, the schools in Morehouse, those students, they are now out of college, are able to build their wealth, buy housing, and then give back to the community, because their tuition was paid for by the wonderful billionaire in Georgia. So this is what we're talking about. Here we get to the little dark side. Why do you think that there has been such resistance?
Well, there are many people that still feel and believe that, no, we are not worthy of receiving this. And I feel that it is a great time that they should be giving, we should be giving land, homes. Mm-hmm. For all the homeless, we have a lot of homeless here, especially after the pandemic. And
oh, yes.
Those that want funds or college fare, and just think in Canada, there is no cost mm-hmm. whatsoever for health care. So that
yes.
is really important because a lot of people are going without because they do not have the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say predominantly the homeless in need of everything as far as shelter, clothes, food, health care. That would be great for them, for everyone to line up as if they were voting and be given whichever choice that they choose, whether it's, like I said, land, a home,
mm-hmm.
college,
right.
and maybe all of the above.
Yes, yes, and all of the above is you know, it's a focus with what I would really focus on as far as making sure to catch up everyone, because these are the basic amenities that have been denied to us for generations, you know, for ever since the Civil War was over with. And that would make a big difference. And then you would see the crime rate go down. You wouldn't have it. But you also have competing interests at the prison industrial complex, and also the issues dealing with the 13th Amendment, where if you're incarcerated, then it's no different than chattel slavery. So this would be one of the areas to really ratchet that in so that everyone can be beneficial and have a clean bill of health. But as we've talked about before, as you've mentioned, you have those who feel we're not worthy, that we're not even human, that we're not citizens, and they would like to banish us, and those are the forces that will be trying to vote, that are voting now against voting rights, and that's they're trying to do everything they can to cheat for their elections, and that will take us back to where they feel that they're comfortable in light of the fact that the population, their population is dwindling and ours is beginning to thrive. So we're at 60-40, might be 50-50. When we get to that point, all bets are off. And so, yeah, this is quite a big discussion, but from both of us, we're saying yes, yes, yes to reparations overall. Now, one thing about it, now, Vera, before you get to the health and wellness side, have you heard of the John Henry syndrome that's happened with African Americans? Because this is kind of part of what's been our journey with living in the United States.
No, I have not, Professor Rames, but guess what? You've given me something else to research. And going back to the question that you're asking, I also want to mention that the same way that they do the census as far as they send something in the mail or they door knock, mm-hmm. well, that
right.
is another way to make contact with plenty of others. And at one time I did a study and everyone was giving different areas of the city and to find out
mm-hmm.
how many homeless people living in vehicles, in tents, and then we gathered together the next day and brought it all together, and it was something else, Professor Reams. You would
wow.
not even imagine. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Great study. And so with all that, I want to ask, so obviously from the study, we were missing a lot of folks that could have been counted. Is that what you found a little bit, or what else?
Yes. That's
yeah.
why we have to get out and, you know, remember back in the day when the officers did a lot of the foot patrol.
Yes.
And
yes.
you
can
saw
I
a lot
good,
of law
can
enforcement.
Can I say good morning
oh.
to two wonderful people? My sister Vera
oh.
Jones and Professor Reams, good morning to you guys. How are you?
Oh, fine, Pastor Jones. We're keeping it going because Clarence, in his travels, he went around the mountain and lost the signal. So we just said we are just going to continue on until further notice. So come on in,
you,
Pastor Jones.
You and Vera are doing a wonderful job, and then. Let's say good morning, Vera. Good morning, Clarence. Good morning. Also, good morning, Talana. Good morning, Talana. How are you?
I'm sure she was in studio for Pastor Jones, but we hear you, and I think we heard Clarence. So continue. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump off the line now. I just want to say good morning to everybody. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Happy Juneteenth, happy Father's Day, and happy reparations, which is coming right after. Well, without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. You and Vera and Clarence, have a wonderful show. God bless you guys. I love you all, and I had the best Father's Day ever, and I hope you guys did too.
Thank you so much. Once again, great job on the Eddie Justice Jones talk radio show. The show of shows on Monday that begins our Monday week and allows us to discuss issues that are so important to us and within prayer, love, and also showing how our love for God has influenced and pushed us to do the Father's work and move forward in the things that we do best. And with today, I have my fellow co-host, Vera Jones, and the regulator. Are you here?
Yes, I'm in studio. Please forgive me. I didn't
no worries.
Come to mind that, it didn't come to mind that I was going to lose a signal through the hills until it happened. So I apologize to everyone. I'm on a different phone now. I'm on my wife's phone. She has a smartphone. I have the dumb phone.
Yeah, that's the phone that didn't go to college or graduate high school, you know?
Yeah. And, we just entered St. George, Utah. Utah is the bottom southwestern part of Utah in the United States of America. Highway 15 will take you all the way from San Diego all the way up to up north to Canada. You know, so
yeah.
When we travel and we go to Montana, which we're heading to St. Ignatius, just to give a little geography right quick before we get back to the subject matter, we left Long Beach. We hit the 405 to the 91 to the 15, and the 15 to take us up. We took the 405 to the 710 to the 91. Then we hit the 15, and the 15 take us up through Nevada from the southwest part to the northeastern part. And then there's a 28-mile strip that we go through Arizona, the northern west part of Arizona. And then we come up through the bottom of Utah, where we just entered a few minutes ago, and we go up through Idaho. And up into Montana to Highway 90. And Highway 90, we head west and through Missoula. And in Missoula, there's Highway 93. And we take that north about 40 minutes, and we're in St. Ignatius, Montana. It's a beautiful place. Take your family for the summer. They have cabin rentals. I think they buy like 100 and some a month, but we have family up there, so there's no tax in the state. So let me get off of that subject, and let's get back to what's really important, to the matters of the equity in the United States, the recognition in the United States of the horrific wrongs that it has done to its African-American citizens of the United States, which we're still not being treated like citizens. I was looking at an article where a young man was shot, I believe, within this past week in Ohio. And he was laying in the street. This happened around 10:30, 11
And he happened to dial 911. And he was on the phone with dispatch. He said, I've been shot. I'm laying in the street. The police didn't want to release the cam. But the second police vehicle that was behind the first, it showed that vehicle. Because the first vehicle, the female officer, ended up running over the guy and killing him.
Mm.
Yeah. And so this guy had on white.
Wow.
You could see him. Yes, you could see this guy. Eric Cole, I believe his name is. God have mercy on him and bless his family to get through this dilemma. And you could see clearly from the second car, when the first car was approaching, you could see the guy from the second video camera from that patrol car. And, man, it's just so much going on in this nation where when the unlawful enforcement, we got to stop calling them by the name that they give us, and we're not getting this equality. We're not getting the equity. We're not getting the same opportunities as the European Americans. See, they want to call themselves, no, you're European invaders. You're taking this land. You pillaged, you raped, murdered, you gave people diseases, ran them off their land, and called them reservations. Even Christopher Columbus note in his writings that he saw Africans here with the natives. We had people already here. It was impossible to bring all these Africans here on them ships, which they brought thousands, but they didn't bring millions because we had thousands here already who have sailed here, who was living here, who was living with the natives. Africa had brought the Europeans out of the Dark Ages, taught them how to build ships to sail.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yes.
When we look at the atrocities that which continue to happen to us today, they're not law enforcement. Some of these dudes in behind these badges and dudettes are criminals. They are a Ku Klux Klan. They are the alt-right. They are the white inferiors hiding behind these badges. And if they get a crack in the door, any kind of reason which they think they can legitify to take a black life, because incarceration with their lives is nothing no more. It's about getting a body so they can go party and drink beers and put a stripe on their arm for that or across their chest. So we got to stop allowing our oppressors, those who still continue to hunt and kill us. See, if you call somebody what they tell you to call them, you continue to give them that power. You continue to give them that right. So we must identify and call them by who they are. They are unlaw enforcement. They are criminals, some of them. They are not supreme or superior to me. I refuse to say that. They are inferior to me because if somebody is inferior to you, they're going to want you to call them superior. So subconsciously, psychologically, and subliminally, you're giving them power, and you're thinking they have more power than you when they don't. I give up the floor. Take over, Professor Reams.
No, Clarence, you're absolutely correct. This is the reason why there's so much fear right now, is because with the woke culture, the myth, the names, the titles, folks are unraveling or seeing just how the lies that have been provided over the years of how the country has come about. Because in all of these civilizations over the years, as I keep saying, you see them grow, they see them flourish, and then you see them decline. But it comes down to the belief that has been infused into the citizenry that makes it work. If you don't believe in the rule of law, and if you're then told, well, these are the symbols of the rule of law, then everything falls apart. And as you've mentioned before, the old adage is, if you're so superior, why do you have to keep reminding us of it? You don't, if you're that superior. You know, if you think about the good Lord, we know the good Lord is superior, but you don't hear him reminding us each and every day. It just is. So this is why you have the folks, and understand the history. Many of the folks who came across were also not accepted in their own countries in Europe. So they fled in order for them to now take over and have the same power as the king and queen that was there, but have their own little kingdom. And so as Dr. Reith would say, the level of insecurity is still there generation by generation by generation. Because as you've mentioned, shipbuilding for Africa is ancient. You understand the Phoenicians and all the other seafaring folks in the middle from the Mediterranean all knew how to create ships, knew how to fish, knew how to go to Madagascar, go to all of these islands over the years. So when you have thousands of years of shipping experience from Africa, you know that this that them being here is because they had already conquered that and had already been helpful. But what you're seeing is how history in this country has been changed, modified, you know, with the critical race theory coming into play or anything like that, where it still perpetuates the same lie of supremacy or inferiority for another generation. So, well said, well said. I yield the floor. Vera, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to mention about police officers in addition, because I have worked in law enforcement. And as you said, well, Clarence was mentioning about there are a lot of corruption out there that could be so. In addition to that, there are a lot of great police officers that literally want to help the community and, mm-hmm. and as they say, to protect and serve. Now, I wanted to mention, if you guys can, check out a book by, Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey. She's a mm-hmm. retired police officer, and I can't think of the name of her first book, The Manifesto. Let's see. Well, anyway, she has a second book coming out pretty soon. It speaks about what actually takes place and what took place during the time that she was a police sergeant in the city of Los Angeles working for mm-hmm. LAPD.
Oh,
yes. And she worked for LAPD for 20 years, and she's giving her view. So research and you know, look her up. Her name is Cheryl Dorsey, and she speaks a lot about the community and the city of Los Angeles. And there are many things that we should all know on how to protect ourselves and what to send and teach our children, our grandchildren, about how to respond when they're pulled over, and to make sure your hands are always visible, because it mm-hmm. is really dangerous at times. Many will, a lot of the officers are afraid, and the majority do not live in the community that they serve. That's very rare now. They drive from maybe 75 to 100 miles to come to work in the city of Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. what we have to do is make sure that we stay visual and look out for one another. And sometimes things can go haywire, and you can never, ever tell when there may be a shooting. So we have to watch out for all of our brothers and sisters in the community. And it doesn't matter whether they're the young, and they're the ones that are approached the most, and it's the old ones. So I always spoke to my son and daughter in the event that they're ever stopped by the police, what to do and how to handle.
Mira, that's it. That's excellent. And I definitely knew of her when I was at the city of Los Angeles. And I actually worked with Willie Williams and some of the other when he was police chief. And his concept of community policing was fantastic because it took the fear out of what the community was all about. Because many of them would live in the Valley area, Glen Oaks and Chatsworth and Devonshire and all these other things in general. But then he wanted to make sure that he had the community's best interest by having sessions and introducing them and going to church and all these other things in general. And over the years, that's always been overlooked as the best way. And, of course, we have fine police officers. I think one thing that gets muddled is that the fine police officers are speaking out, but their voices aren't being heard in the media on how they're handling the rogue police officers. And it's you know, very disconcerting because, of course, there is the code of conduct and the fraternal aspect and sorority aspect of the policing that goes along with it. But with that, as mentioned about a week ago, we go back to the humanity aspects of fear and how we would handle something with only a split second. That makes it easier to provide sympathy for whatever happens in a police incident. Nobody's perfect. So, as you've mentioned, we have to also take precautions on what we do when we engage the police and the proper protocol. And in light of the fact that even when we do that, it sometimes ends well, sometimes doesn't end well, we still have to stay at the table and still keep fighting. So thank you so much, Vera. Clarence, do you have anything to add?
Yes. I work for every level of government. I work for the city. I work for the county. I work for the state and even the federal government. With the city for the Los Angeles Police Department, I was a garage attendant, and I assisted the mechanics, and I even got to know some police. I even got to know some police doing my community service work with the organization I California Sees Fire. And there are some great police officers out here. There are some great police officers out here, but due to the fact that we have a few in the ranks who use the bad for their own personal hidden agenda, we get these bad apples. And so, you know, people say the bad apples don't fall from the tree.
Clarence?
I think we lost Clarence just now. Dead tone.
One thing that I dearly love about his trip is that I don't know if you remember the Greyhound buses that used to take people everywhere, but my parents. Yes, so you go down the 6th Street downtown. My parents decided that, you know, for their young son, me, around seven, at age seven, that we would take the Greyhound bus, and they had a tour of half of the United States, which followed the same pathway that Clarence is going, and it goes up to Montana, and then we would go into Canada for
wow.
a little bit, and then turn around, and then come on back. And it was just a way of stopping by the Grand Canyon, going to Utah, just stopping at the various spots. I think we did a little bit of Texas, and then of course we left the spot, went into Memphis for a while, and then because that's where my mother's family was, and then up to Canada, and then from Canada to come home. So it was a wonderful way to do it. But now at 8-7, sitting on a bus. And having something to do, that you get the idea that I wish we would do more in my later years so that I could appreciate it, as opposed to sleeping all the time just to handle the boredom. But that's good, and because I can see how his grandkids are saying, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And them trying to keep them under control, especially with trying to find a good fishing holes and or places where they can bed down. So kudos to Clarence, great father and grandpa. Yes. Now,
yeah,
Jill, you also have I understand you have grandkids as well. Would you have you taken them on excursions kind of like this just to learn them something?
So, well, the excursions have been around the city. However, pretty soon, since I'll be going on a vacation pretty soon, and my granddaughter said, "Oh, I would like to come." And I said, "Well, you know what? We have to plan one. We will plan something special coming up soon."
Go, Grandma, go. Now, does she call you Big Mama or her grandma or her granny? What's your nickname?
Well, listen to this. I'm called Grandma V, and we sing a song, and I have all the family members and friends singing it. It's called Grandma V, That Is Me. Grandma V, That Is Me. And then while you're saying it, you know, there's a little dance to it. So that's me,
wow.
Grandma V.
The GV dance. Nice.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's very kind of on the line with the wobble or the electric slide. Yeah.
Yes. My mother will even dance to the same song.
Well done. Well, that's the thing about, no, I don't have grandkids as yet. They're fighting it. But, you know how the kids are. But when we do, one of the things that was always amazing was the role of grandfathers and grandmothers and just exposing us and giving us a little bit of a, where if the parents, you as kids, your parents weren't getting to you, grandma, grandpa could. And that's always the one thing that has always been exciting. So kudos to Clarence and kudos to you, Grandma V, on instilling that foundation in our kids so that we keep the generations and generations of folks grounded in just the Lord, as well as love and patience and kindness as well. So I think in our discussion with policing, we understand how difficult it is. I mean, I have family members who are running as sheriff and also for the LAPD. And then, as I said, you know, as you've been working for city and you know, dealing with county, and then when you have the sheriffs all involved, you many times when they in the situation of getting to know folks, in Long Beach here, we had the police chief at our church and the sheriffs and all these other things in general, and they have volunteered their times. And so once that connection is made, especially in my neighborhood across the street, a former assistant police chief who's been here for years, and our police officer is just 5-10 minutes away, it can be a situation where if an accident happens or if there's a problem or so, then that's understandable overall. It's just when we have the skirmishes that we have in George Floyd or in what the Clarence had shared, that's when life in itself goes in a different direction. So we just have to stay prayed up, stay clear, and also stay loving. Even though in light of the chances and the problems that occurs in doing that, as hard as it is, the Lord expects us to be forgiving in the process and just our journey through life. So that, where are we during the time? Oh, yeah, we're at 9:56, so we're getting close to getting off this topic. So, Vera, anything else that you'd like to have for both Juneteenth or the reparations?
Well, for both, it is a new celebration for all of us. And so I want everyone to research and learn some new things about both, because the new, I'll call it the new world order, there are so many changes that are taking place around the nation, and within self. So we have to go with the flow of the river.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then Vera, so that you don't have to do a lot of research or any research unless you want to, the John Henry syndrome is simply this. We, because we're taught to excel and to be three times, twice as good, 100% better than everyone else because of the fact that that's the nature of how the culture has been, especially for since slavery. It causes a problem in our metabolism because there's so much stress in doing that that it causes us to age faster and also be susceptible to diabetes and stroke and other ailments, and even our immune system is compromised to where it's not as good as you would think it is, because you've seen it, I've seen it over the years, where the person is trying to be everything or be three times better, and it takes a social, a psychological toll on the body if they have not done, as you're going to share with us, what we should be doing every day with our health and wellness. There's just that drive to say, well, I've got to be better, I've got to be better. If they do one, I'm going to do 10. If I do this, and it's just a constant state of a little bit of paranoia, but also a bit of drive, which is really not healthy. So you'll find that in we call it post-traumatic slave syndrome or whatever we want to call it, that the body has aged 10 years further than any of the other races that are in this country. And that means that when physicians try to treat us, they're astounded by how much damage has been done to the body of a 20-year-old or 30-year-old who has just been doing this constantly, which would make us susceptible to a heart attack or to other ailments, even Alzheimer's or even stroke. So that is where, when we get to your segment, I'm always just honored to hear all the things that can be done to reverse some of this stuff by all the wonderful things that you have shared, from walking to, oh, I'm not going to take this way, because when we get to your segment, it is just gold. So that's the John Henry syndrome that is going on. I hope that if Dr. Aretha gets on here, she can add more to that. So anyway, for me to finish up for Juneteenth, and also with reparations, as Vera mentioned, this is we're going into a new direction. And I am encouraged by the fact that the folks who worked on reparations did not falter. And they stay, just like John Lewis and just like notorious RBG, that they stayed on the front line focusing on this. And when the opportunity came, it was there. You know, and we had Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, be there to officiate over this. So once again, well done, well done. And as Pastor Jones mentioned, reparations is next, whatever form it takes. But it also means that while we celebrate, we stay on the front line, and we just continue to persevere, because that's what our forefathers did, and our forefathers did. So we're standing on the shoulders of giants who knew they would not see the day themselves, but put into place, continue to do, while following the good Lord, on how to move us forward in this experiment called the United States. So with that in mind, we can now move into the regular programming. So Vera, you have as much time to talk about health and wellness as you want. So,
well, sure. Are you ready to get started, Professor Rain?
I am ready, and I also have my rainbow fruit right in front of me.
Oh, that is so awesome. Yes, yes. Well, thank you all for listening in today and every single Monday. from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And today, for health and wellness, I wanted to share with you about survival, surviving a crisis. And Dr. Aretha would definitely speak well on this, because sometimes during a crisis, whatever it may be, you may stump your toe, run out of gas, you may have something going on in your bills at work, and it will develop a crisis within self. So for health and wellness today, I wanted to ask some of you, now, do you have a garden? Now, we spoke once a couple of months ago about gardening, and that is one of my passions. But in the event of a catastrophe, an earthquake, a tornado, a fire, a tsunami, a school shooting, what type of contingency plan do you have? Now, I want to make sure that everyone listens in and take a couple of notes, and perhaps I'm sharing some of the things that you can do in your home or at work. So, do you have a generator in the event of this crisis where you can keep all of your food cold or cool? Or if not, you can have a couple of ice chests to help keep your food cool. Now, do you have a first aid kit? And there should be one in your car, one in your home, and not just the bathroom, but in every room of your house in the event of emergency that you can't get to another location, and the garage as well. Now, do you own a fire extinguisher in the event that there's a fire and one took place right next door to me? And thank God for the fire extinguisher and the water hose. It helped until the fire department arrived. And as we learned during the pandemic, of keeping a lot of disinfectant on hand, in the event that we need to clean surfaces and other places, we have to make sure that we keep a contingency plan going at all times. So with having an emergency kit in your car, garage, work, and put those emergency phone numbers in your phone, have them written down, and make sure that you keep it in your vehicle. And when we're speaking of vehicle, I try to make sure that my tank is on full at all times, because you never know when you may have to just drive, just go for it. So we have to stay focused on what that is. In addition, I'm not sure where you live, but do you have a life jacket or a boat? And if so, is it ready in the event that you have to use it? Because during the tsunami, oh boy, and the tornadoes that were taking place, man, that was something to watch on television and to have to go through. And if you are one that takes medication, make sure that you always have medication in your first aid kit. Now, when there comes to crisis and an emergency, are you aware of where, I know the guys are, are you aware where your gas and water shutoff valves are? Because that is really important. It's usually in the front or in the back of your yard. And for some of the emergency kits, you can pick up first aid kits, the survival kits for eating, or you can make your own stockpile. But you can pick some up at Costco, Home Depot, and let's see, there was one more. Let's see, Home Depot and Walmart. Yes, Walmart. So sometimes during the crisis, we will feel depressed, emotional, and we have anxiety because we're not sure of what to do. So make sure that you stay focused with your family and what's happening and what's going on, and share if you need to with your neighbor, because you may have an elder, you may have pets, or someone else that you can share food or water with. So I have camping gear because I love nature. I love the outdoors. I love camping. I'm excited. I'm waiting on our camping trip that's coming up. But if you're on the highways and byways, you can never tell what may take place on the road. And I'm sending traveling grace to Clarence, Tim Allen, while he and his family are taking that journey, because they have to make sure that they take plenty of things for the children and the pets. Now, do you keep a pair of boots or shoes in your car? Now, that's important, too. Who knows what may take place? And you may have to walk. So, yes, make sure that you keep your walking shoes and boots. So you, if you need to hike, yes, you can. But we have to stay grounded. And staying grounded is by praying, going within, and carrying that good book, which is called the Bible. Because we all have Bibles, and are they dusty or do you use them? So we can carry that good book with us at all times as well. So today was a little different for me as far as the health and wellness, because we never, ever know when there could be a catastrophe. So we have to stay ready and not just work on getting ready. And with health and wellness, when I asked you if you had a garden, do you have anything in your yard that you can eat in the event that you cannot leave, or there is a building collapse, or the streets are condemned, that you can eat just right there from your garden, from your yard? Do you keep a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables? And if so, it's never too late. It's not too late to start planting a couple of things right now. And those things, you can also make sure that you keep those fresh herbs on hand and different teas, because in the event that you cannot cook, well, what are you going to use? You can keep those canned goods on hand, like tuna and sardines, vegetables in the can. That's the only time I would basically use the can, because I like to cook from fresh fruits and vegetables as much as possible. And if not fresh, yes, it will have to be frozen. Now, I have a lot of zucchini right now that I want to chop up and cook. And I do want to cook some greens this week because I have a taste for them. Greens is one of my favorite vegetables, and spinach. So what I do sometimes, not only do I cook them the way that we generally cook them, like boil them or saute them, but I also, for my greens, will make some different wraps and stuff them with different things and prepare them that way, and that's like a great snack. And you could put anything into some cabbage and make that a meal in the event that you're not able to cook. And then those dry goods that we should keep on hand, like cereal and, you know, the dry powdered milk back in the day? Well, yes, you can have that on hand as well. I don't drink the milk, but I do drink the almond milk. And just thinking of milk, the powdered milk is great to soak in. So the powdered milk will actually help to detoxify your skin, to soothe and soften your skin. And it also helps with, you know, your heels, if you've been walking in the sand a lot or barefoot, which is really grounding. And it's good to ground yourself in the earth every single day if you can. Spend some time walking barefoot, whether that's, I can't walk in the grass because I am allergic, but I like to walk barefoot, like in the yard or in the house. So not only will we just focus on food, water, shelter, but we have to keep our children and our pets entertained. So I have a drum right now, and I also have something that I want to share with you guys. Let's see if it's available, because I pulled it up earlier, And you guys know how I love music. Now, remember Destiny Child, Survivor?
Oh, yes.
And remember The Eye of a Tiger, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive? But this is just a little clippet, snippet. I do not own the rights to any music whatsoever. But this particular song is by the OJs. And I just want you guys to listen in.
Yes.
Okay.
Survival.
So, you know, Professor Reams, I had to dance to that because, you know, I really enjoy dancing. And so when I pulled it up this morning, I just started dancing. I was thinking of all the 70s songs. So you have to make some games for your family. Mm-hmm. In the event of a crisis, you have to keep that strength from inside during that time of anxiety. And sometimes not knowing what to do, because we went through a surge for a long period with the pandemic, and many people were lost not knowing what to do. So with coming in and to listening to this particular show every single week, it has helped to keep me grounded. And listening to Dr. Aretha's show on Thursdays at 6 p.m., that is another show that has helped to keep me grounded. So if you guys have a pen or paper available, I would like you guys to listen in, if you can, coming up on Thursday. And her show usually begins at 6 p.m. And let me pull up the number for you guys. So just give me a moment because I don't have it available just right now. But I will be pulling up this information for you.
And while Vera is doing that, I've also listened to Dr. Aretha's show, a wonderful show, from 6 o'clock the first hour, then 7 o'clock the next hour, and then it's all with guests full and dealing with mental health issues and with prayer, with dealing with religion. It covers all types of areas. That has just been just positive for everyone to listen to. So for you to listen to this, it's a wonderful treat, and it gives you a chance to consider other things that are otherwise maybe plaguing you, and it may even help to address a few things when you are feeling a little down or feeling a little confused about what's going on or where things are. And it's just a blessing that she's one of our co-hosts, and that she does a little double duty both on our show but also on her own show as well. So we highly recommend you listen. It doesn't cost you anything except maybe a little time, but then it'll be well worth it. Vera?
Yes, Professor Reams. Yes. Each time I listen in on Dr. Reese's show, I feel really great. And is that someone coming in the studio?
Is that? Oh, yes, yes. A regulator. No, yes. Vera's finishing up her spot.
You know,
yes.
There's a lot of mountains around these hills, and on both sides of the 15 freeway. And Dr. Aretha Adams Jones has a marvelous show on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Mental health and you. Because this mental illness is a serious, serious factor in our life out here. You know, we all, every day, we each and every one of us wake up. We have our own agenda, and we have those situations, circumstances that's going to be added to our agenda as we go through our day. Now, we all even have to wrestle with ourselves every day, each and every one of us, some more comfortably than others. But when we look around and travel, we see people that who have lost their minds out here in this life. Life is not designed for that. You know, Hippocrates, thousands of years ago, one of the first professors, one of the first doctors to treat mental illness. He treated it holistically. You know, he not only gave people natural medicine, he also changed their environment and with education. So for Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, her number Thursday night is 551-258-6967. That's 551-258-6967. I listen to this show when I'm able to, but every time I listen to her show, I learn something new. I get knowledge. I get empowered. I get enthused. I get motivated to do better, because I have learned something about this mental health industry that I didn't know. And not only I learned something about it, I learned how to deal with it. So, you know, thank y'all for mentioning that once again on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're at 646-787-8064. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/hit search. Let me see. I think it's Eddie Jones underscore production. Eddie Jones Jr. underscore production. That's coming straight out of my head. I'm not reading that off of my notes, and I do have notes. Professor Reams and Sister Vera, did y'all go through the Word of the Week and the Scripture of the Week yet?
Oh, not yet, but then wanted to ask Vera, did you going to close out your segment, because she was finishing up something, Clarence. So Vera?
Yes, I was finishing up my segment. Thank you so much, Clarence, for giving Dr. Aretha's number, 551-258-6967, and that is at 6 p.m. every single Thursday, except actually this coming Thursday will not be, but the following, yes, there will be. Sound Minds, Mental Health in You. Thank you, Dr. Aretha. And so I did mention a couple of places where you can pick up the dry foods and the first aid kits. In the event that you don't get the opportunity to pick up, just make sure that at home you keep those regular things that you may need, like eye wash, bandages, gloves, those disinfected alcohol, and also your food box. And keep some snacks in your car and water in the event, as they tell us, do not keep the plastic bottles in. But if you have some special water bottles that are metal, those are really great to carry around. Or glass is just as good. So in closing, I just want to make sure that everyone stays healthy, they stay well, and spiritually stay grounded. And I'm handing it back over to you, Professor Reen.
Oh, well done. And I'm going to pivot back to Clarence, the regulator. So, Clarence, you wanted to share the word of the week and the scripture, and I'll read the scripture.
Yes. I have written a scripture. If it's not what you have, I'll let you mention that. And maybe my real word of the week isn't what Pastor Eddie left. So if not, I'll let you give what he's taken down.
Okay, so the word of the week is evolved, and the scripture of the week is Proverbs 7, chapter 1 to 2. So it's chapter 7, 1 to 2. And so, Clarence, is that what you wrote down?
No, that's not what I wrote down. So how about we have two words of the week and
Absolutely.
Two scriptures for the week?
Amen. That sounds great.
Amen.
Double the difference.
Let's do this. Yep. This is the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. Greatest Monday morning blog talk show every Monday morning. There's nobody who can match and compete on this level. I don't know how Pacioretty do it, but every week he brings a knockout, home run hitting, touchdown, landing guest to come to the show every week. But we are your guests, the co-hosts. We are collaborating as your guest this week. And the word that I picked for the week is redeem. Redeem is a word that I picked for the week. And the scripture that I had selected was out of the first book of the word, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I just thought both of those hit with right what was going on in our nation. You know, we have, and Professor Rings was speaking on the direction, the arguments, the battles that this country has taken earlier in the show. So, you know, we have to unite to vote. We have to unite and hold our politicians accountable for our agenda, what we need in our communities, what we need for our social status, what we need for our own personal and collective progress in this nation. You know, Martin Luther King said, how can a man lift himself up by his bootstraps when he don't have boots neither straps? You know, and when the Emancipation Proclamation came January 1st in 1863 and our ancestors were set free, where now they had to be paid to work, they didn't have nowhere to go. It was very few slaves was given 40 acres and a mule down in Florida, I think parts of Georgia, and maybe some of South Carolina, very few. And that was General Sherman that came up with that idea, 40 acres and a mule. So we need to not go back, but we need to know what happened in history so we don't get fooled by the same game twice, so we don't get tricked by the same scheme again, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same thing that is happening over and over. As soon as we forget, it's going to happen again. You know, it's just like some of the subject of this show, whereas we were talking about, I mentioned about Eric Cole, the lady officer ran this young man over. And he's the one that called the police. He was on the phone with dispatch to come to his aid because he had been shot. Where and how badly he was injured? Well, I don't know where part of the anatomy he was shot on or had been hit. But he was laying in the street. He picked up his cell phone, called 911, and was on the phone. He even mentioned to dispatch that she ran him over. Just some of this stuff is just unbelievable. Professor Raines?
Oh, yes. No, it is. You know, once again, the harsh reality is that the journey never and the struggle never stops, because once you think something is on the process of getting resolved, it'll surprise you, and it'll always continue to surprise you as it almost seems like the good Lord is opening up that every state has its problems and that needs to be addressed, and said no one's going to go unscathed in light of all of these issues. So we only hope and pray that the good cops and the good administrators and also the community, as we have seen repeatedly over and over and over again, come together to resolve the issue on this murder, as with all the others, because it just, the times that we're living in, it is just folks are pushing back. There's still rage. I mean, even with the success and redemption that having a Juneteenth national holiday is, it's no different, as I've mentioned before, that when the first black president and now the first African-American Asian vice president has been elected, folks definitely began acting up, resisting, and acting out in many different ways. And it always seems to happen in both administrations, but more so that we've given authority, as Clarence mentioned early, to those that protect and serve. Now, remember, we've also said that there are good cops, so we'll see what the police chief and all the other folks say as this case and other cases move forward. Clarence, would you like me to read Proverbs 7:1-2?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. All righty. So Proverbs 7, verse 1 to 2. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And so what it's indicating is that God wants us to follow and to continue to use our means, our love, our faith in the process of adhering to his commandments, spreading his word, and also, as you mentioned, and my law as the apple of thine eye, as the focus of everything that we do. And when we do that, then God is pleased, means that we get it. And we're moving forward as he's asked us to. So a wonderful scripture from Pastor Jones. And once again, this is the Eddie Justice Jones Talk Radio program. And we're moving forward into our different segments. So, Clarence, I'm not sure if the other co-hosts are in as of yet, once again. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, what I like to say, what's so extraordinary about that scripture and the scripture that I read was they are so connected. You know, when God formed man of the ground and blew the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul, then he gave him his commandments to be in his likeness, to walk in his way, which you covered. And if we apply just these two scriptures of the week to our life, I mean, we'll walk in his blessings, we'll walk in his grace, we'll walk in his love, we'll walk in his power. So, you know, it's just so immense, the life power that putting these two scriptures together, the education and the knowledge that we can get if we just relate and reminisce on them, what as personal and as a collective that we can receive from this. So once again, Pastor Eddie, you the man.
And Vera, what are your thoughts? Oh.
Go ahead, Professor Reeves. I apologize.
Oh, I was just going to ask Vera, what did she think of both words of the week and also the scriptures of the week.
Yes, for both, we have to use those every single day of our life. So, yes, I wrote them down as I do every week, and I try to make sure that I use the word of the week actually for the whole week. Because evolve... is definitely our word of the week, and we are evolving and moving and growing and shifting. So just like the water and the ocean, it is never still, but there is calmness and there is great tidal waves. And if you don't have anything addition, I wanted to also add a couple of things, because I know Clarence and Adam Allen that usually reads from his book. He's on the road at this time. So Professor Ames and I are helping Clarence out at this time. And Talana comes on with words of wisdom. And Linda reads our poetry. So, but I wanted to share a couple of things. Is that okay, Professor Ames?
Oh, absolutely. Vera, take the floor.
Okay. So I have this book by Richard Newman, and it's titled African American Quotations. And then the quotations are, you know, like the table of contents. And I just want to share maybe about four of them with you. This first one is one that really caught my eye. Now, this one is by Frederick Douglass. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. And we're speaking of freedom. That's the topic that I'm speaking of at this time. And this one says, what do we want? Freedom! When do we want it? Now! And that is anonymous civil rights movement chant that has been used across the nation for freedom. Okay, and the next one is, in Mississippi, there's a town called Freedom. In Washington, there is a department called Justice. And that's part of the civil rights movement thing. And here's another. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. And that is human rights that was written in 1948. And the last two will be by W.E.B. Du Bois, which was born in 1868 and passed away the year I was born, 1963. And he was an intellectual activist. And this reads, freedom always entails danger. And the next one says, freedom is a state of mind, a spiritual unchoking of the wells of human power and human love. And love is one of the hugest things that we must use and share every single day of our life. And back over to you, Professor Reed.
Oh, thank you so much, Vera. Those were excellent, you know, for those quotes. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Fantastic. Do we have other co-producers and co-hosts on the show, like Melanie Aubrey, as Vera had mentioned, Dr. Aretha, or Linda, who, as we've mentioned, does our poems, or Talana? Anyone?
I've been trying to reach in, Professor Rams. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now. Perfect.
Welcome, Talana.
Thank you, up there. Good morning, Clarence, the regulator. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
I'm doing great, Clarence.
Hey, Talana. Good morning.
I am
Professor Reed.
Good morning,
Dad, everybody.
And I just on. What did you say, Daddy?
Fine too. Can you guys hear me? Dr. Reed.
Dr. Aretha is online.
Yes, she's on the line, but I just want to say everybody's doing a fantastic, phenomenal job. I'm here at work right now. This is the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I'm here with one of my fantastic, phenomenal trainers, and he's a young man, and he's doing a good job. Say hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Everybody
Hello,
say
Ryan.
Good morning to Ryan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ryan.
Going, guys? The one thing I want to discuss, and if you look at the average credit score of a white person or Caucasian, their credit score is over 700. The average African-American credit score is 677. And when it comes to U.S. income, we're ranked like 87th on U.S. income by race, African-Americans. I mean, so we're at a humongous disadvantage. But when we go apply for a car or a house, these are the two things that are going to say, oh, you don't make enough income, or your credit score is not high. Let's take that out of the equation to where our credit scores are high enough, our income's high enough, to where, guess what, the deciding race is race, to where basically the deciding factor is race. You're like, you know what, the reason you didn't qualify is because, not because of your credit score, not because of your income, because you're black. We can't say that now because they're going to say it's because of your income or because of your credit. Let's all try to get 700 credit scores. Let's all try to make $150,000 a year. So then guess what? When they say, you know, the reason you didn't qualify for this house, this bank loan, it's paid up because you're black.
Let's give a big hand for Ryan.
Excellent.
He's my coworker.
Excellent.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan, for that.
I hear Dr. Rita.
Dr. Rita, one of our topics for next week. We're going to talk about credit scores, and we're also going to talk about income. Because that's a civil rights issue that's been facing African Americans in America for the last 100 years. This is why you couldn't live in certain areas, why you couldn't drive in certain areas. This is why you couldn't get certain jobs. So I would elaborate more, but we're going to save it for next week because I know we have everybody doing their thing right now. I want to say I love everybody. To all the fathers, happy Father's Day. To all the listeners, thank you so very much. And we're going to have Ryan back on our show again because he has some very interesting subject matter. I love you.
We love you. Thank you, Ryan.
And I love everybody. Go ahead, Brother
Clarence.
We love you, too.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, one of the most important things President Biden said?
You guys go right ahead with the show.
All righty. Thank you. Clarence, so I yield back to you. I think we have Talana and Dr. Aretha in the show. So
yes, let's get Dr. Talana was here first. Let's do your words of wisdom, and then let's bring Dr. Aretha in, mental health and you.
Well, thank you, Clarence, and thank you to everyone who is listening, good morning again, and welcome to Working Wisdom. I will be as brief as I can be. Today, I was listening, and I apologize for being tardy. So today,
well, no worries.
I would like to share. First of all, I want to say a shout-out to all of the fathers. I'm bad, just took the words out of my mouth, but I want to reiterate. I love you, Dad. I am grateful and I appreciate you, Clarence and Madeline, and to Professor Raines, and to all of our men, my brothers, my uncles, our ancestors, our elders, happy Father's Day. God bless you all, kings, and thank you for paving the way to help us to be who we are now. Amen. So today's words of wisdom are also about Juneteenth, so I pray you enjoy it. On Juneteenth, we come together, young and old, to listen, to learn, and to refresh the drive to achieve. It is the day where we all take one step closer together to better utilize the energy wasted on racism. Juneteenth is a day that we pray for peace and liberty for all. Thank you.
Superb. That is fantastic.
Thank you, Talana.
Because there's only so many people on the show right now. It sounds like.
Yeah. All righty.
Is Dr. Rita in the house?
I'm in the house. How are you?
Woo,
can you
hear me?
Dr. Rita.
Nice shout out to you. Well done. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Doc. Now, Dr. Rita, I talked about about the John Henry syndrome and shared that with the audience. You don't have to belabor on that, but I shared that it's a situation where because we're working so hard to be twice as good, it does have both a mental and then physical effect on the body where it ages it a lot faster. So that's just the Reader's Digest version. You don't have to talk about that, but just to let you know that that's one area that we kind of slid into your segment of Mental Health Matters. So go for it.
Oh. Hey, that's cool. Someone was talking about that recently, about people striving for goals and things like that. And
yes.
Thank you for mentioning that. Look at you, Dr. Reed.
Dr. Reed, but
I would not do it justice. I wouldn't do it justice. I'm just the appetizer. You're the main meal.
And you know what? Sometimes I think it's referred to sometimes as John Henryism as well.
Yes.
John Henryism.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That's great. Thank you so much. All right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I want to I would like to wish you and Brother Clarence and Pastor Eddie a happy Father's Day. I trust you guys had a wonderful day. Celebrating. I'm sure you guys had a wonderful holiday. I sent out the text really late yesterday, but I hope you had a wonderful Father's Day, and I pray that you have many, many, many more. Okay, and I wanted to also let you know that Pastor Ramsey, he's on the line, but he was trying to speak, and he could hear you, but you couldn't hear him. So Pastor Ramsey is on the line, and he told me to tell Pastor Eddie and Sister Vera that he did receive his nice juicer. He wanted to thank you.
Yay!
Ooh.
Juice. Yeah. So, I wanted to let you know.
Dr. Aretha, believe it or not, but I have the hardest time mailing it. I had to go to 3 different locations because no one could find his address. And the postal services, they said there's no such address. And I said, well, it's up in the hills, somewhere in the mountains. She decided, you know what, if anything, it would just come back in a couple of weeks. And thank you. That's so good to know.
He got it. He received it. He wanted me to let you all know. And then the second announcement I wanted to make is, did anyone hear from Sister Linda?
No, I haven't heard.
Okay, there was something that took place with her, and she wanted me to let you all know that she'll try to, she had an incident, and so that's why she's not here, but I want to let everyone know, because I know that you all love her poems, and she will try to be back on next Monday. She had an incident, and she was able to call me Saturday. And so I just wanted all the listeners to know that hopefully she'll be back a week from today or in a couple of weeks. I just wanted to let you all know that. She just asked if I would make that announcement for her. And so mental health and you, thank you for your patience. So listen, you know, after COVID-19 came about, people had some concerns about taking the vaccine, but because of, especially, people of color, because of, experimenting and things in the past on African Americans. And so, I can understand the concern, but I'm going to discuss something it deals with vaccines, but it's a little more serious than, okay, I don't want to take that vaccine because, I know what they did to my, forefathers and my race years ago. That's totally different. I'm going to discuss something called vaccinophobia. It's a morbid fear of vaccination, right? It's a fear or a dislike to the practice of vaccination, and the exact cause is unknown. It's an irrational and it's an abnormal fear of vaccines, okay? And the phobics, the people that experience vaccinophobia, they have a high level of anxiety not just of taking the vaccine, but just the mere thought of thinking about getting a vaccine. And so these individuals experience a great deal of mental anguish, anxiety, and they could really go into a full-blown panic attack if someone tries to give them the vaccine or if they just think about it. Once again, this is a phobia. It's not the people that are saying, I'm not sure if I'm going to take the vaccine. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of people that have an extreme fear of just any kind of vaccine, okay, vaccinophobia. And what happens, sometimes they go into a full-blown panic attack, and they have elevated heart rate, elevated blood pressure, increased rate of breathing. They start sweating. A full panic attack, muscle tensions and things like that. So depending on the severity of the symptoms, sometimes it may require hospitalization. They tend to avoid what they fear, and that's what phobics do. Whatever they fear, they tend to avoid that fear. So anxiety, they have anxiety just by thinking of vaccines. They're unable to cope with their anxiety. Once again, they could very well have panic attacks. The causes are really unknown. They think it could be genetically related, a family history, you know, or mental illness, a family history of mental illness, especially anxiety disorders, okay? And the treatment is, it falls under cognitive behavioral therapy. And what they do, it's called exposure therapy, where they expose you to what you fear. So in other words, if you're afraid of getting a vaccine, you know, a vaccination, you know, shot, they will expose you to that. You will get the shot, and they would until your anxiety will begin to subside. So that's vaccinophobia. And just remember that mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. Thank you so much.
Dr. Rita.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bravo, Dr. Rita, as well.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
That's a passion. Pastor Ramsey, that's you? Well, due to the essence of time, we're going to go straight to Professor Reams, and we're going to get our commentary.
Yes, Professor Reams.
Professor Reams.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, for the wonderful, wonderful time that we've had together. And my commentary is going to try to be as brief as possible. But first of all, I want to thank Pastor Jones for the wonderful focus that we've had for today. And also to my fellow co-host, both Clarence Allen, the regulator, and also to Sister Vera, our health and wellness specialist extraordinaire, and to Talana for the wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom, and to our own Dr. Aretha for the vaccinophobia and also providing just being supportive of everyone that's dealing with the idea of mental health, because mental health matters. And to Linda, a shout out to Linda and also to Cousin V and her family. So here we are, it's Juneteenth. What a wonderful celebration. It shows that, as Vera had mentioned, that no struggle, no progress, and also the idea of freedom, and also that when we try to go for forms of freedom, it's also going to be dangerous, but well worth it. The path that the good Lord has placed us on has shown us how he works. So as we go back to the words of redeem and evolve, remember, we had Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, indicate to us that we were created. And now that we've chosen to walk the path with the Lord, he now has provided us, as we said, with his commandments. It also shows the good, the bad, and the ugly that happens in the process, and that freedom is not easy, and that we must work together to make it happen. This celebration of Juneteenth shows the culmination of all the work that's happened, and of course justice has occurred, but then it's also with the idea of peace for all, as Talana had mentioned. But it also shares with us that in the process, as Vera mentioned, of moving and evolving, which is our word to evolve, everything's going to shift, it's going to change, there'll be tidal waves, there'll be calmness, and it'll just be life happening, and it's our ability to know how we persevere and continue to push on. Now, as we move forward, the word redemption comes in, because the fact for those who voted for this within the Congress, you could still see that there are 11 to 20 folks who are against it, but for those who did vote for it is redemption, because 100 years ago this would never have happened, especially in the fact that there were still ill feelings for the fact that freedom had come to African Americans and black slaves. So in the process, this is a wonderful, wonderful celebration. But as I've mentioned before, we still have number 45 running amok. We still have the issues of his family. And we still have examples of less than fatherly behavior on the other side. You can see the lying, cheating, conniving, and stealing, the total opposite of what Father's Day is. And to all the fathers, once again, great job. To all the fathers who are acting as, who are also serving as mothers, and mothers who are acting as fathers, great job, because it showed that when we met and we saw the challenge and through the good Lord move forward in that direction, that we, as an example of him, showed love, showed patience, showed the idea that redemption is possible when we work together. But it also means that while we're celebrating, the moment that the celebration is over with, we need to get back on the front line. We need to make sure that we're vigilant. We need to, as Vera tells us each week, we need to take care of ourselves, because the struggle is not over. It will not be over until, just like John Lewis, it's the end of our road personally, and then we're able to come home. So the next steps that we talk about is the voting rights. We are talking about D.C. statehood. We're talking about reparations. We're also prison and reform, as well as police reform. So everyone, celebrate now. But the good Lord expects us to be back at our jobs that he has allowed us to evolve into. We can see the redemption that will occur when we walk with him. And with that, that's my commentary.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for being so brilliant and making the commentary so easy. Clarence, I yield back to you.
Yes, Clarence, before you go, this is Pastor Jones. This is Pastor Jones, you guys. I just want to say, let's keep Linda in prayer. She does all of our poetry. Dr. Aretha let me know that she has broken her hip. She fell and broke her hip, or some kind of way she broke her. She might have to have a hip replacement. She's in the hospital, so let's keep her in prayer. And let's keep all our radio show together in prayer, and let's keep all the listeners in prayer. And wonderful, phenomenal, fantastic job. And I also want you to say hello to another one of my great, great fellow employee co-workers. And say something, Brother Devon.
How y'all doing out there?
All right. He said, hello. What are y'all doing?
Hello,
everybody.
Devon.
Hello, Devon.
Yes. He didn't hear you. Can you guys say Devon?
Yes.
Good morning,
Devon. Hello, Devon.
Good morning, Devon. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, so let's keep prayer. Everybody did a wonderful job. Professor Reams, Vera, Talana, Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, you guys, and Melanie and everybody, remarkable, amazing. And so I want to have a great day. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. But let's not forget one thing. We can't let nothing and nobody steal our joy. And remember, the best is yet to come. Clarence, I yield to you. Take the floor. What a great show.
I think we may have lost Clarence. He's traveling the highways and the byways. So in addition, we have to send him traveling grace, he and his family, as they travel. And again, keep Sister Linda in prayers and one another, and share some love this week in whichever way possible.
Amen.
And if we don't have Clarence to do that special song for us, are you with us, Clarence?
Yes, I am. I'm operating from two phones, so I don't think y'all heard me from the first one.
Oh, no, but repeat what you said. But so. Vera?
Hello, Professor Reed. Yes.
Would you like to play?
Can you hear me, Professor Reed?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, then, Vera, if you want to play the O.J. Survival.
Yes, I would love to, Professor Reed.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a true recording, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Okay. Dancing as I listen.
What did you say, Professor?
Oh, I'm dancing while I'm listening as well.
So am I. Work it out. That's what Aunt Dorothy would say.
Yeah.
Here's the best part. Come on, you guys. Come on, get your workout in.
Yeah.
Do that two-step dance.
All right. Yep.
I see you, Professor Rain. Okay,
thank you.
Solana.
I'm getting my slide in.
And Melanie. And Clarence. Clarence and his wife and the children are boogieing.
Yep. We're